And welcome to the Department of Metal Antiquities.
Well, we remember what everyone else has forgotten.
As always, I am Nick Cameron, also of Glacially Musical, and I am joined by my good friend, a musical man, a loiner landslide from Leeds. How are we doing today, buddy?
Hello,
oh,
I'm doing...
Duncan Evans, I'm sorry. Oh my god,
You didn't say my name. Yeah, that's all right. I didn't notice that either. But yeah, I'm doing all right. I've just learned from you that somebody from Leeds like me is known as a loiner. I did not know that. But I know Leeds used to be called Leodis many years ago.
I was going to call you a Leishan landslide, which I think sounds better than loiner landslide. In fact, if I were you, being as you do live in Leeds, I would be starting a campaign right now to come up with a new way to describe yourselves.
There you go. I mean, I don't think anybody in Leeds would describe themselves as a loiner. I don't think it's really a thing anymore. Maybe one day.
There was a rugby team called the Leeds Loiners, I should point out as well. I learned that while I Googled what it was. But I think I'm never going to say that again because I don't like saying it.
No, it's a strange word. But anyway, how are you doing yourself, Nick?
I am doing great. I have had a very productive day as we record this. It is 1:30 p.m. my time on a Saturday. I got up at 8:30 this morning and I drank all the coffee. It was too tired for tea, and I got a late night. And I got a late night this evening, so I had to drink all the coffee. And I got up, I did my shopping, I got some stuff done around the house. My wife is coming back today, and we are having a lovely evening tonight after I go to a baseball game with some friends of mine. So I'm going to a baseball game, then I'm going out after that.
Wowza, that's a lot going on in one day, Nick.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And then I decided, a good friend of mine at work is a hunter, and he provides me with all sorts of game because he hunts way more than he and his family can actually eat. So he always ends up like with a whole fridge of extra stuff. So he gave me, he had talked about how great wild turkey breasts were. And how it's the best turkey you'll ever eat. And if you are against eating meat due to the CO, the carbon gas emissions, wild game should be okay because there's no carbon gas emissions, I think. But he said that it was the best turkey you would ever have. So I asked him if he ever got some. He's like, oh yeah, I got two breasts in the fridge. I'll give you. So he gave me those. I made one. It came out pretty good. And I'm doing another one for my friend who's coming to take me to the baseball game this evening. So I've got that smoking on the grill. I gave it a nice rub. I gave it a yakitori marinade, which is sake and teriyaki sauce. And then I threw a little bit of Worcestershire in there just because I love Worcestershire. And little tidbit about that, Worcestershire sauce in Spanish translates to English sauce.
Does it really? There you go.
They call it salsa Inglaterra, English sauce.
Wow, there you go.
And yeah, and that's what's going on in my life today. Thank you all for listening, coming to my TED Talk. This has been the Department of Metal Antiquities. Oh, wait, we haven't even gotten to the... Oh, yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Okay, so we are talking about a band called Death Piggy. They are significant because they featured Dave Brocky, who was laterly of GWAR, former podcast subject.
And I believe Russ Bohorsky was also in GWAR for a very short time. He wasn't on the first record, but he was in the band for a time. If you are interested in more of this, on the Glacially Musical podcast with Keefe from Ghost Cult, we did an entire series on GWAR. So there's a lot more information than we can get into in the 45 minutes an hour you're going to get from us today.
I always say GWAR, but maybe it's GWAR. I'll try and say GWAR.
The name came from making fun of a gurgling noise that one would make as they were dying in battle.
Okay.
So GWAH is actually how it's pronounced.
It's kind of GWAH. Yeah, I see. That's cool. So, all right. So Death Piggy. So they were around in the 80s. They were around, formed in 1982. They played their last show in 1994, so they were around for quite some time.
No, that was a reunion show.
That was a reunion show. So they were really an early 80s thing, and then they reformed again in the late 90s. Is that right?
That is correct.
Right, so yeah, there's not a whole lot about this band on Wikipedia. I couldn't find a massive amount about them, and I didn't know really anything about them before doing my research for this show. So they're around in the early 80s. They released several 7-inch EPs, essentially. I think it's the whole. So they're a hardcore punk band, and there's a big tradition within hardcore punk of releasing 7-inch 33 RPM EPs on 7 inches. I just said 7 inches twice there, but you know what I'm saying. With like 7 or 8 really short tracks on. So they did a load of them. And what we're looking at today is a compilation called Welcome to the Record, which is essentially a compilation of everything they did ever, as far as I can tell, which was released in 2020 as a Record Store Day exclusive, I think.
That is correct. I actually came across it when I first heard about it. It was before I had acquired any Gwar records. I've got, I think, 5 or 6 now. And I saw it. It's a Death Piggy, Dave Brocky, formerly of Gwar, later of Gwar, blah, 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 all that stuff. The late Dave Brocky. Because this album was released as a tribute to both him and the drummer. The drummer's name was Sean Sumner. And Sean Sumner passed away in 1996. Which I don't have any real good information about that. It was just before the death. I played the last show in 1994 before the death of drummer Sean Sumner. And then, of course, Dave Brocky tragically died of an overdose in, I believe it was 2014 now. So it's been quite a while since we lost him. So this album was kind of a them putting out this album as a tribute to them. That is, and you were absolutely correct. This is a compilation of all of their 7 inches, much like when we did the episode on the Beastie Boys, Some Old Bullshit, which was a compilation of their EPs as well, 1 7-inch and 1 12-inch. Those were called Pollywog Stew and Cookie Puss. So this is a series of 7-inch EPs. It's the there was a release of it also in oh do, 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 19 no not 19 oh God where is it Smile or Die in 1999. There was a release of the first 18 tracks on this album, which those are the Love War 7-inch EP, Death Rules the Fairway 7-inch EP, and R45 7-inch EP. And that was released on Smile or Die, which is available on YouTube and all that business. As this was a Record Store Day release, it's a little harder to come by to get the information, to get the digital versions of it. I don't know if it's on Spotify or anything, but I'm also a well-known, famous Spotify Luddite. So I don't know anything about that. What is very interesting about this particular band is they were, of course, in the DC hardcore scene. And when you think of what Dave Brocky becomes just 5 years, maybe not even 5 years after this band is formed, it's crazy because this band is nothing, absolutely nothing like Gwar. Except slightly musically. The big difference is Dave Brocky does not just sing in this one, he also plays the bass. So Dave Brocky is lead vocals and bass, Russ Bohorsky is guitar and vocals, and Sean Sumner was on the drums. There was a joke a couple of years into their career, if you could even use the term career, I might be overstating it a bit, where they decided as a joke to dress up as monsters and play a heavy metal concert.
Yeah, they opened up for themselves, didn't they?
They opened up for themselves and they opened up for themselves as Gwar. That was where it
Yeah, but
came from.
not called Gwar. Or were they called Gwar at that
I
time?
thought they were called Gwar. Duh, 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 duh. No, they were not called Gwar. I take that back. And they met. This is how Dave Brocky and Hunter Jackson, who later becomes Techno Destructo in Gwar. That's how their cooperation starts. Hunter Jackson was the leader of a artistic collective called Slave Pit. They were a special effects house. What they wanted to do was make like monster movies, like Trauma and all that stuff, like Toxic Avenger. And they ended up hooking up with Dave Brocky, and the rest, of course, is history. But it's it's a neat kind of thing. So I'm still confused about the 7-inch on hardcore stuff, but I'm also not a hardcore fan by any stretch. There is not a whole lot of information about this band other than that, which is nuts. Which is what makes it perfect for the Department of Metal Antiquities.
Yeah, certainly a lost record and a lost band, really. So yeah, no, I don't have a whole lot else to talk about here either. I can't find anything in terms of reviews, contemporary or more recent ones. So I don't know, but I get the impression that these were a small group, and that so at the time it talks about them limiting some of their 45s to 301 copies. So we're looking at very, very small scale. So they were really a local Richmond, Virginia band. And it was only when Gwar happened that since then people have looked back and dug into Death Piggy and become more interested in them. So I suspect they'll sell probably more copies of that Smile or Die album than any of the 45s they originally sold. And if you combine that with Welcome to the Record, I'm sure they've probably sold a lot more since 99 than back in the 80s, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
So,
right now I'm looking on Discogs to see what's available. The EP Love War is $1,000.
wow.
And there are no copies of Death Rules the Fairway available for sale.
Wow.
And there is one copy of R45, which is $300.
Wow.
And that's again for 7-inch. These are for the original pressings of these things. I mean, that's absolute crazy money.
It
But
is,
there's only
yeah,
301 of them, so what are you gonna
exactly,
do?
in the world, on the planet, yeah. Well, Nick, I don't think there's a whole lot else to talk about in terms of background here, so maybe we just need to get into the track by track. What do you think?
I think that is probably the best way of going about this. We are going to take this in, I guess, in order as it is. So the first one is God spells God. I don't have a good pun for that.
Okay, so this is just a piss take or satire lounge jazz thing with deliberately drawled vocals. And that's really all I have to say about that. It's loungy jazz, it's intentionally silly, it sets a lot of the tone of the record in terms of the silliness involved. There's a lot of silliness, maybe not. It's not fully completely just a joke record, but there is a lot of silliness going on. I said I had nothing more to say, and then I said lots more. So I'll stop now, but that's what this track is.
We routinely say we have nothing more to say and then continue talking, so don't worry about it. I like this track. This track reminds me of what we get from Gwar later on in their career when they're established, when they can do more not metal silliness. Because as every I'm sure everyone listening to this knows, heavy metal guys don't always have the best sense of humor. And I like the term piss take, so I'm going to use that today. This song is a piss take, and the thing is you can't take the piss out of the metal guys, or they will hate you. But when they're established and everybody loves them and everybody's in on the joke, then it's okay to do it. So yeah, this loungy thing, lyrically speaking, I really can't say anything about that because I didn't get much out of it apart from God spells God, but it is what it is. It's cool, it's fun. It's a great start to the record, and it's a wonderful thing when you think about who these guys become, because all they want to do is make a splatter flick.
Excellent. Splatter Flick is track two. This has a nice riff. It's hardcore style. It's punk rock. We're into the meat and potatoes of what this band are about. They are a hardcore punk band, although they don't always stick to that style. That's like 60% of what they do. You've got some nice riffs. You've got another nice riff, one after the other. You've got some hardcore style vocals. And what's great about this, which is again going to be a running theme, is that you've got a super catchy chorus hook. So I think it's the title of the track repeated over and over again. And they've got a pop sensibility about the way these songs are written, even though they're quite noisy, they're quite abrasive, they're quite slapdash and thrown together in a certain kind of way. There is a slickness in from another perspective to the composition here, where you've got these catchy, poppish hooks, and you've got things to bring you in to the songs, to those choruses. You've got melody, you've got stuff you can sing along to. So I liked it a lot.
Yes, I also very much like this song. It's we are starting to get like the embryonic guar. And I know I'm going to kind of be repeating that a lot, but the record that we did for this podcast before by guar was their debut, Hello. And that album can only be described as crossover thrash metal. Which crossover thrash metal, for anybody not familiar, it's the merging of hardcore punk and regular thrash. It's that stepping stone where you start moving away from punk. And this is, I would say, now granted, my knowledge of hardcore, as I mentioned earlier, is quite limited. But when I think back to listening to the Beastie Boys hardcore records, and from what I understand, they were considered to be a reasonable hardcore band. Their recordings are much noisier, much harder to understand, and the recordings are kind of awful. But on this album, these recordings are really well done. The production is nice and clean. So I think that's worth mentioning. And
I found it quite noisy, but I think the YouTube rip I was listening to was from a vinyl record, so maybe that was coming into play. Maybe it's a slightly old record, but anyway.
And if you don't like that, eat the people.
All right, so Eat the People. Where am I? Here I am. So this is different again. This starts with some psychedelic noodling with prominent bass and quiet vocals, and you've got these bouncing rhythms. And then as it builds up, it's kind of like hardcore punk disco. And then it ends with the lyrics, "Let us end this stupid song." So again, they're into satire territory, but I like it. I think it works. There's not a massive amount to say about it because there's so many tracks on this album and they're so short that they're finished before they started, a lot of them almost. So that this is one of those songs. So that's all I'll say about it, but I liked it.
I'm trying to see if I have the times of any of these songs. Let's see, because this
Think most of them
is
are in the 1 minute sort of region.
we're on the Love War. Let's see, let me check it on this. Here we go. Yeah, this song is 1 minute and 1 second. So far, this is the longest track.
There you go. Exactly.
You know what? It's fun. They are not taking themselves too seriously, and it makes it fun. And I mean, that's the thing, is so many of these things are everybody takes themselves so seriously, and especially the metal guys. Hey, I'm sorry I'm beating up on us, but sometimes you gotta tell the truth. And when I hear about people saying, oh, that's nerd music, I'm not going to listen to that. These metal guys, oh, those nerds. And I'm like, seriously, you're listening to Ronnie James Dio singing about unicorns and dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool do you think that? Anyway, it is what it is. It's hard to really give a whole lot of great information on each of these songs because, as you said, they come and go really quickly. But a really good, memorable one is Fat Man, which is next.
Sorry, I just muted myself for a second. This is fast hardcore. It has a nice chorus hook with apparently a children's group joining in on that. And you've got a lot of cool punk riffs going on. Catchy, breakneck pace, hardcore punk, really good stuff. That's it.
I thought the vocals on this one also were really good. And sometimes Dave Brocky sounds like Odorous Orungus on this album, and sometimes he doesn't. He did a little on this one, not much, but there's one track, and I'm sorry, I forget which one it is, because there's I think there's 21 tracks that we're discussing today. So that's a lot. And they don't last very long. Although there is one that's 3 minutes and 52 seconds long that we'll talk about later. And so it's cool seeing the embryonic versions of what we get later. And this one, it actually reminds me of a Beastie Boys song that they do 10 years later. It reminds me of Heart Attack Man by the Beastie Boys. That kind of, because on the Check Your Head album, they started doing hardcore songs in along with their hip hop songs. And then they started also doing jazz stuff. And I mean, it's all kinds of, this is kind of like what the Beastie Boys almost become later on in life. So it's interesting. That is an interesting little thing I noticed. And I can't get enough of saying interesting. So I may be a nympho.
All right. Well, this one is, he starts off saying this is going to be the stupidest thing in the world. And then it kicks in with very fast hardcore punk with deliberately silly vocals. It's about food. He's saying, I like salami and mayonnaise, or they could be double entendres. I don't know, but I definitely picked out those food related lyrics. And that's about it. Yeah, it is silly. Is it the stupidest thing in the world? Probably not. Is it actually pretty cool, even though it's silly? Yeah, it is.
No, the stupidest thing in the world is previous podcast subject, Peter Criss's One for All.
Probably.
I'm sorry. It is the stupid. That is literally the stupidest thing in the world. You know, here we go. We got, you know, we don't have time for a whole lot of riffs, so they just blow it out and, oh, did I just make a double entendre?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that was on accident. I apologize. This is a family show, I guess. it's another fun song. And if you want fun, Dave Brocky's your guy. And we're going to keep the fun going with... Hey, actually, did I say that we are on... Right now, this is the Love War 7-inch that's where we're at, which is these are released in order on this album. They have it in order of when they were released.
Indeed, yes.
So, okay. So next is Bathtub in Space.
All right, Bathtub in Space. So this is a steadier, groovy thing. And you've got this nice hook, which is really catchy. Again, you've got that pop sensibility shining through. It's punchy. It's catchy. You've got a good riff that goes in unison with the nice hook. And again, it's a good track. It's not that hardcore-y. It's a different type of groove altogether. So they're quite experimental, really. They don't just stick to this hardcore beat at all.
The DB, right? Is it DB?
DB, yeah. They're not sticking with that DB. They do it a lot, but only some of the time. So yes, different directions, different influences coming in, and I like it.
They're fun. And here we have another prelude to what Dave Brocky becomes down the road. Bathtub in Space. The entirety of Guar is a story. I don't know if you're aware. I wasn't even aware, even though I liked them, until we really dug in. And it's about aliens from space. So... You know, here we go. It's they are doing it. And I'm going to mention Jamie Morris because he won't stop messaging me on Facebook right now. Hi, Jamie. Listen to Jamie's show, Handful of Doom, Doomful of Fuzz, his business. I'll link it. Anyway, back to the beach, y'all. He got me off my game. No prob dude
is the next track. I didn't realize that was the actual name of the next track, but it is track 7. So this starts with some swing jazz rhythms, then the hardcore-ness kicks in over the top, so you've got this swing upbeat with hardcore guitars, and the drums are played loud in a hardcore way, but with the swing. So it's like jazz infused hardcore punk, and it's kind of cool. It works. Silly vocals alternating between his normal style and a falsetto saying, "No prob, dude." It is very silly. This is one of the sillier tracks. Because a lot of the other tracks, they're silly lyrically, or there's a bit of silliness in one aspect, but actually the music's quite serious from another point of view. This one feels a little bit sillier all the way through, but it's quite catchy. Again, we get into this catchy repetition of the title as a hook, and yeah, it's quite fun. It's pretty good. I liked it still.
Yes, it's another good song. I mean, that's what this is. This album, oh, I guess really this EP is, it's a really good EP. It keeps it fun. And this is also okay, I forgot to mention the last track was the longest song on the EP at 1 minute and 26. This one clocks in at 58 seconds, but no prob, that's not too long and it's not too short. Now, we're going to keep it very serious for the last track on Love War. Mangoes and goats.
Absolutely, very serious. So this starts off with silly, loungy a cappella vocals. Then you get this noisy, dissonant, shouty hardcore coming through. It's loose, it's rough, it's noisy, it's kind of rotten sounding, it's angular, it's melodically odd, but it's also strangely catchy again, and it's pretty cool. Again, that ability to chisel out a hook from within the noisy backdrop of hardcore swampiness is very much noticeable on this track. So, yeah, enjoyed it.
As did I. And it's a this I mean this is a good record. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it. It's quite good. Oh, and for the record, the stream you listened to was on CD. That was a CD rip because you
I
listened
definitely.
to the Smile or Die compilation.
I did, yeah, but it definitely had vinyl crackles and everything. There was no doubt about that. It was full of them. So I don't know.
Mine didn't
I think
have crackles.
it, yeah, who knows? Who knows? I don't
Anyway,
know.
so mangoes and goats. What I mean, what more needs to be said about mangoes and goats?
I don't
Was
know. We've
okay,
both
fair enough.
spoken in silence.
So that is the end of side one on Welcome to the Record, or it is the end of side two on Love War 7-inch, or it is just the end of Love War 7-inch. So we will now go on to Death Rules the Fairway, which is their next release, which comes out in 1985. And the first track on this one is called Welcome to the Record.
All right. So, Welcome to the Record is fast with this kind of blues rock riff repeating. And then it drops out for them to say, for Brocky to say, "Welcome to the Record, one, two, three, four." Then it goes back to that riff. And then after about another 10 seconds, it just stops. So, it's kind of something and nothing. It's not a bad riff at all. It's very repetitive. Not a lot happens. It's fine. I don't think it's the best track on the album. I'm not entirely sure why they named the album after it. Well, I suppose I am because it says Welcome to the Record, which makes sense when you're doing a new record, doesn't it? So there we are.
It's a very strange title. I mean, even if it's a strange title. And, this one is just basically their little silly introduction and they're having a good time. Now, speaking of having a good time, the next track is called Boner.
Indeed. So let me just get my notes up about this. So this is like a silly version of B-52 style surf rock with a bit of hardcore style in there as well. Well, quite a lot of hardcore style in there. And it's pretty catchy and it's pretty cool. And again, it's very short, so I didn't have a lot else to say about that, but I liked it.
You want to talk about a couple of guys just being goofy and singing about their wang doodles? Here you go.
Exactly.
They're gonna give you all you asked for. And I don't know if anybody really asked for it, but they did. I don't know if, let me rephrase. I don't know if anybody asked for this. I'm sure probably nobody asked for this, although Dave Brocky thinks we did, 'cause if you think about everything that comes later and the things he sings about, and the things they talk about in Phallus in Wonderland later down the road. Yeah, so apparently Dave Brocky thinks everyone asked for this, but I'm going to say nobody probably did. Okay, next song. If you need some pizza, you go to Showbiz. There was an old pizza place here. It used to be called Showbiz Pizza. So okay. That's a really bad pun because that's really, really narrow.
Very local, yes. All right, well, this starts with Jokey a cappella singing again. And then you get this post-punk bass-heavy groove coming in with this eerie lead guitar on top and what I've described as goat-like odd vocals. And then you've got this repeat of the word showbiz, which is quite nice. Again, you've got that pop sensibility, that hook shining through. But this is a weird-sounding song, and it gets weirder and weirder. There's some more odd and dissonant lead guitar that comes through as it moves on. And it works in a strange way. And still, somehow, there is that hookiness. There is that catchiness. But this is a weird one, and I like it. I like its weirdness.
If you don't like the weirdness of this record, why would you even listen to it? I mean, this whole thing is just cuckoo banana nut bars here. And there you go. And speaking of cuckoo banana nut bars, when do you have dinner, Duncan?
When do I have dinner? I see. Yeah, Dinner in the Morning is the next track.
Yep. I believe this is a cover. That
really? Okay.
I'll Google while you talk.
It goes into a jokey cowpunk country kind of thing. So it could be a country song, maybe. I don't know. Then it goes very weird and dissonant before going back to the cowpunk thing. It's catchy again. They've managed to fit some strong melody in here. There's a fine balance between those melodies, that sensibility, and just complete nonsense, noise, dissonance. And again, I think it works. I like it. There's this clash between the popular, the poppy melodies and that absolute hardcore throw your guitar down the stairs noise. And that clash is where it all happens, and it works.
Yes, I completely agree with all that. For the record, Jamie's show is Fistful of Doom.
Yeah, which... I did know that. I was going to correct. I didn't know if you were just joking or if you didn't know.
I couldn't remember. I was on the spot, and my brain broke. But I will link it in the episode, Jamie. You're welcome. For all of our listeners in Australia who will love you, I'm sure. This song is funny. It's not a cover. So this is a Death Piggy original, but the Dinner in the Morning, Dinner in the Evening, Dinner in the Afternoon. I mean, I remember that from something. I don't know if that's something that they just ripped off from somewhere or what. So, but it's fun. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And is hardcore punk allowed to be fun, silly, and ridiculous? I didn't think it was.
Yeah, I think it is, man.
Well, good, because if you're going to do that, you might as well just be whipping around the bay. That's not a good link.
Okay, well, we've got there anyway. Whipping around the bay. Sea noises start this one off. Then you've got some lead guitar with heavy reverb. Then some bass creeps in. And then melodic vocals gradually come in. And this one is really not anything like hardcore punk at all. It's like the Eagles or Jefferson Airplane. It's steady. It's like
Wait. How can you have the Eagles and Jefferson Airplane in one song? I'm going to question that one.
I think there's a lot of similarity between the two of those, but I don't know. Maybe I'm. Yeah, I think there is, man. But anyway, it's like
steady. Okay, you're entitled.
This kind of steady psychedelic rock thing that I would say both the Eagles and Jefferson Airplane have. And there you go. I've got my word psychedelic in there. So it gets louder and louder as it goes on. It goes on for an age compared to the other songs. This is like 3 minutes or something, isn't it, Nick?
3 minutes and 52 seconds. We have a proper song length.
So this is the longest track on the whole entirety of this compilation. There's some lead guitar noodling and it's hypnotic. It's psychedelia. It's psychedelic rock. It works, and I think it's really good. It's quite incongruous, so that's maybe something that perhaps doesn't work as well with this album, is that sometimes they perhaps push a few things too far in opposite directions, so it doesn't all hang together quite seamlessly enough for my liking, perhaps. But you know what? It's a great song, or it's a good song. It's a strong song. It's odd for them to go in this direction, but you know, it kind of works. So there we go. Odd, but it kind of works. I think that's going to be a running theme for throughout this.
I like this song. I thought this song completely worked. It was neat to see them go in a different direction. I didn't think it was psychedelic or I would agree, however, that it does remind me of the Eagles, but I would never describe the Eagles as psychedelic. Maybe you listen to more than I do, and all I have is just that greatest hits album. I mean, I've heard that and I've heard Hotel California. That's all I've ever heard. So I don't know. Maybe they do a lot of cooler stuff that's when they're not singing about taking it easy and stuff like that. But I would
Maybe
call.
psychedelic's not the right word, but I know what you mean. Or I know what I mean, but I'm not saying it that well, perhaps. I don't know. I know what someone means about something.
Duncan knows something about what someone means. We're not sure if it's him or me, but we'll get
Exactly.
there. We'll figure it out in the end.
Absolutely.
This one to me was like very, and I mean, this is going to sound so cliche to say, but it sounded very yacht rock to me. And he was
Yeah, there's
singing
a
about,
bit of that.
and he's singing about driving a boat in the bay. I mean, he's playing yacht rock about being on a yacht. And I was like,
Yes.
that, now that is a great joke.
Yeah.
And I cannot come up with a linking pun on this one. We're going to finish off Death Rules the Fairway. And you know what? Even the title is the title of this EP is a little yacht rocky as well. And the cover of this one, because I've got all of these up, is like death playing the Grim Reaper playing golf. It's
Right, sorry, I turned myself off then for a second.
not a problem. So yeah, it's the I mean, this one is definitely, you know, a good joke. I mean, if you, I'm pulling up the cover again to get a better look at it here. It's the Grim Reaper on a golf course behind an emaciated man. When I say emaciated, that's not even a strong enough way of putting it. Holding in death is caddying for this man. So
Right.
it's ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous. It's fun, but it's ridiculous. All right. So, have we talked about ceramic butt yet?
No, we have not done ceramic butts.
All right, let's talk about ceramic butt.
Okay, well, this starts with a nice steady to fast power chord riff. You've got these muffled vocals that come in. Very nice grooves. I like the feel. It's almost like dance music. They've almost got this house beat thing going on with hardcore power chord riffs over the top of that. And then it just fades out after 1 minute. So it's gone before it's properly started in some ways, but it leaves you wanting more. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that everything on this album leaves you wanting more, except for Whipping Around the Bay, because that one actually might overstay its welcome.
Right.
But this is the end of, you know, it's the end of Death Rules the Fairway, which, as we discussed, is a, you know, kind of a joke. I was wrong. This was also released again in 2005 by Slug Trail Records, which Slug Trail Records was the second label they were on. This was originally released on DSI Records, which I'm not even familiar with. I don't know what that means. So yeah, and Love War was on DSI. And then the next one that we're going to talk about, the last EP of the compilation, R45, was also released on Slug Trail Records. And so let me take a look at R45 real quick. R45, the cover is very, very hardcore. It is just, it's a green paper sleeve with a black printing on it. Death Piggy is written in the military font, the stencil font, and then it's got a picture of what I think is a pig.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's strange. It's like some sort of piranha type of thing, but I think it is a pig,
All right,
probably.
we'll go with some Wacky Pig. This is going to be the first album I'm not really good at describing. And the R in R45 is in quotation marks, so I don't know what all this is about. The first track is called Poet.
Yes, indeed. Yes, sorry, I need to just get to that. Poet, so it starts with this nice syncopated riff with drums. It's quite fast, not super fast hardcore, fast-ish. It has some cool vocal lines. They're quite desperate and anguished, even though there's some jokiness to this song, as there is to all of the record. And then you've got some blues rock lead guitars that come in as well. Again, another strong track.
Yes, another strong track, another fun track, another joke track. It's I wouldn't say this is a joke. I would say they're a serious band telling jokes. And that's what makes it fun. And then the next track we get to is Ground B Sound.
Yes, so this one has a blues rock riff again, and then it kicks in with this fast surf rockish kind of feel, maybe a bit like the Cramps or something like that. And it's catchy, it's melodic, there are some great riffs, there's a really nice energetic feel, and there is it's a bit like almost like Blue Oyster Cult in places, I thought. Just reminded me of some of those Don't Fear the Reaper sort of moments. There's actually a guitar solo in this, not for very long, but it's the only guitar solo on the whole album. And it's a really nice bluesy rock thing with a ton of energy. And this one seems super long as well. It's still less than 3 minutes, I believe, but it's like 2 minutes and 40 or something like that.
Very close. It is
So
2 minutes 30. This we
there
should
you go.
mention that this EP R47 has longer
R45.
songs. R, what did I say? R47,
Yeah.
R45. Yes, R45 has four. It's only got four songs, and the shortest is 121. So it's 121, 230, 147, and 257. So it's a bit more long-winded. Oh, I mean. It's funny to even call it that, but this one I thought had a little bit of military imagery in it, which would make sense based on the, unless I'm getting my tracks wrong, which would make sense based on the military imagery they used in the very, very small cover. Speaking of military, Joey died today.
Okay, well, this has bass to start with, then the drums come in and it's steady. And you've got almost funky hip hop style grooves going on here. This is not really a hardcore song at all. It builds up as it goes along. Some good melodies and some good dynamic shifts and changes as well. And again, it kind of finishes before it's fully started. I think this is one of the shorter ones on this record, even though it has longer songs on it, this EP. So yeah, that's all I have to say about it, but I remember it being pretty good.
Alrighty, I am I'm gonna harken back a little bit to Dinner in the Morning. That was originally a song, or they were like spoofing a song called Sugar Time by the McGuire Sisters, which is sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time, be my little sugar and love me all the time.
Right, I see.
And Johnny Cash also covered it as well, which is maybe why I know it so, which is why it hit my head so hard. But anyway, so moving on to Joey Died Today. This is a tongue-in-cheek weirdness. It's a the closest thing there is to an ambient song on this album, I would say. And this might be the first song that I don't absolutely love. It's a little bit strange.
Fair enough.
Moving on to the last track on R45, which is Minute to Live. Minute to Live, Minute to
I
Live.
think it's Minute to Live. It's number two in the middle, isn't it? But I think
Yeah,
it's got
number
to be
two.
Minute. It's got to be Minute to Live. So this starts with Tweeting Birds, then a bass riff creeps in, the drums come in, there's lots of sampled speech, and then it kicks in with guitars, etc. And then after a while, it goes into super fast hardcore and it's pretty cool. And they're just doing their thing. There's probably some jokey lyrics in there, which I didn't fully catch because it's quite noisy, quite harsh, a little bit dissonant. But I enjoyed this one as well.
Yeah, this one I liked. It and yes, it is a much noisier song. This and that's actually what we're going to get into going forward. So, Duncan did not hear the next two songs on the entire compilation
That's
because
because I could only listen to the, is it Smile or Die?
yeah, Smile or
I
Die.
could only listen to Smile or Die. I couldn't listen to Welcome to the Record, but I did manage to find, well, you found,
Yeah, I found
and
one of
I
the songs
found
from it.
the last track of Welcome to the Record, which
But
we'll get on to in a minute.
yeah, there are two tracks on here called one called Scabs, one called Ewoks, and they are both just abject noise. There's really not much to say about them. These were not even properly recorded in a studio. These were just demo tracks. So likely they were recorded on a boombox surrounded by amplifiers. So I have no strong memories of either of them except kind of going, ugh. And then
right.
The last track, which those two songs were completely unreleased. Those were the last two unreleased Death Piggy songs, which is why I'm guessing they put those onto Welcome to the Record. You don't need them, frankly. And then the last track is Fear of Murder.
Okay, so this one has a bass riff with guitars creeping in, and then you've got the bass drum coming in, playing a four to the floor groove. Well, just a four to the floor. And it kicks in double time with hardcore style and noisy riffs, shouted vocals. It is very noisy, but there's great energy and it's catchy in spite of the shouty noisiness. Again, they've got this juxtaposition, this clash between the poppiness and the horrendous noisiness. I don't mean horrendous as in I don't like it. I just mean horrendous as in loud and horrible, basically. And then it breaks down to crash, breaks right down to crashes and smashes, completely just absolutely breaks down. Then we get back to the riff again, and it gets noisier and harsher as it goes on. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a longer song. This one is about 3 minutes long, I believe. And actually,
yeah, it sounds about right. I remember looking at the length.
Yeah, and it's another fun song. It's here we are again. I think this is when I heard like the real Odorous Orungus come out of him. That odorous right. voice, not the Dave Brocky hardcore punk voice. So. That's, you know, that is Welcome to the Record, track by track. I apologize for being a little distracted. It's been a weird day. Anyway, I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best, people. And I'm going to move on into my sum up. I mean, this is hardcore, I would say, for people like me who don't like it. I don't like hardcore because I don't even know if he wanted to be in a hardcore punk band based on what I'm hearing on this album, because it's so all over the place. But normally when we do a record where it's so all over the place, it doesn't work. This works, I think, just because it's so silly. And so for me, I'm definitely a spin it on this one, and I'm ashamed that it took me so long to acquire it. And just for the record, if you want it on vinyl, it is available. I see one in America being sold for $15 plus $5 shipping. You know, it's a very, very affordable addition to the collection.
All right. Yeah, for me, it's definitely a spin it too. It's a strange record. There's a lot of jokes, silly stuff in there, but there's enough serious, energetic, powerful, hardcore punk and enough poppy, catchy, melodic choruses and hooks in there that it's great. You know, it elevates it far beyond what could have just been a silly joke album with nothing good in there apart from the jokes. It's not that. There's actual plenty of good music in there to get your teeth into surrounding the jokes that the lyrics are often about and things like that. So, yes, it's a spin it from me, most definitely.
Yep. Alrighty. And with that, I guess there's really not much else to say about this one. Thought this would be slightly longer, but without a whole lot of information leading up to it, there's not a whole lot we can say. So, Duncan, thank you for joining me every week as you do over there in the United Kingdom. I appreciate you much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you could, you know, Duncan and I love doing this, and we want to do this for more people. So if you could comment, like, subscribe, whatever, tell a friend, tweet. Put us out on social, you know, put us on social media, whatever you can do. That is what helps us get through the algorithms and break through the noise that is the internet. And the internet is a very noisy place with people throwing out link after link at you. And I know it's fatiguing, but if you could throw out one link each time you listen, that would be greatly appreciated and very helpful. And with that, I will say thank you for listening to the Department of Metal Antiquities. We listened, and now it's your turn.